Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint. On the show, Semper Gumby. Semper Gumby, always flexible. You know, Marine Corps veterans out there know the term Semper Fi. To Semper Gumby, always flexible. So, hey, just as we're about to kick off our statewide show here, all of a sudden our phone lines kind of went dead here. And so I'm trying to get where we've got our engine working on our phone lines here for a second. And so kind of at the last minute here, trying to quickly work the phone lines up into my remote broadcast equipment here, you know, because if I was, you know, taking the show out on the road, I could set up anywhere. But then I realized, well, heck, I don't have a laptop with me here today. And usually I got to connect through my laptop. So I might have to figure out a way to in just a second. So here's the thing. As you heard me talk about the promo from the show yesterday, we were already scheduled to have Speaker of the House Brandon join us in the second half of the show today. But then first up, we've also got Governor Greg Gianforte. He's ready to go, ready to rock and roll. I've got him on my cell phone to get us on the radio show, but I don't think you guys can hear him because our producer, Caden, him yet. So I'll work our phone lines with us so that you can get a chance address night. You guys heard some of the highlights yesterday. We played several of those great highlights from the governor's state address on Tuesday's show. Phone line squared away, and we'll get the on the show with us here. I've literally got him on my cell phone, but I don't think you guys can. Oh, I can hear you through my headset, but I'll just double check to make sure our listeners can't. Governor, how you doing? I think we are hearing you. It's for some reason it's not working. Okay, yeah, I got you. I can hear you, but I don't know if our listeners can hear you. Caden, are you hearing the governor? Let's see. He can't hear the governor. Okay, well, Governor, if you can, if you got a run, I understand. But if you can, give us a couple minutes here during this next break. I'll see if we can get the audio all squared away for and so that our listeners can hear from. I guess I'll just rock and roll and figure it out. I know I've got a ton of great things to talk about. In the meantime, while our air works, the phone is here. So, all right, Governor, I apologize for the technical delay. Listeners as well. But yeah, coming up after this break, we'll take of the break opportunity to figure out our back the show with you. If not, I was able to interview Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson. They've just appealed a big to the United States. So we'll have that ready.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're just going to go back to our normal studio there. Yeah, I was hoping I could figure out a way to still get the governor on over the phone by using my cell phone, but going in and out of my system app to do the show and trying to talk to him on the cell phone, either you weren't hearing him, or then I started breaking up. But the governor's going to be on standby in case we get these phone lines up and running here in the next few minutes. In the meantime, here's my conversation with Attorney General Austin Knutson, and I planned it to use this later on in the show anyway. Congrats on being sworn in for your second term as Attorney General. You could tell my voice is still a little raspy, but I imagine I missed a great inaugural celebration for you on Saturday night. Did I hear Aaron Tippin came and performed for your event? How cool is that?
You heard correctly, Aaron, and good morning to you and good morning to your listeners. We decided to do something a little different, something I wouldn't normally do, but we did hold an inauguration celebration in Helena. And we had a surprise musical guest. We didn't tell anybody he was coming, but man, what a patriot. Aaron Tippin, got a chance to meet him and his wife, Thea, and their son, who travels and plays with them backstage and just hang out during sound check. They're just great, humble, normal people. And you don't always get that. But he put on a great show. We had another local dancing band after he was closed out, and we had a good time.
Well, that's awesome. I wish I could have been there. I'm still a little raspy, as you can hear my voice, but maybe we'll see you at SHOT Show here very soon for sure. But, yeah, Aaron Tippin, great patriot, and I know he loves Montana. I know his wife has connections in, I think, the Lewistown area, so that's awesome. Well, the reason
great
we... Ball. Yeah. The reason we wanted to get you on the show today, though, is I got a press release, I think over the weekend, from the Montana Department of Justice. Here's a headline in the Helena IR. AG asks SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, to reverse a state ruling and uphold parental consent for abortions. Yeah, the liberal mob on the Montana Supreme Court has had some outrageous decisions, so I think a lot of folks are going to be pleased to see that you are now appealing to the United States Supreme Court for parents' rights.
Well, I can't not, Aaron. I mean, you've got young kids. I've got young kids. This is outrageous, and if you've read this opinion by the Montana Supreme Court, it is... outrageous doesn't begin to touch it. So this saga started a decade ago, literally a decade ago, when the state was sued over a ballot initiative that was incredibly reasonable. And frankly, it passed by 70%. It said if you've got a minor child that's going to have an abortion, you have to have parental consent. My kids can't get an aspirin at the school without my consent. Yet somehow we get sued over this eminently reasonable law that was passed by the voters of Montana, not by the legislature, passed by voter initiative. We get sued. That thing stalled out while every judge in Montana ducked on that issue for almost 10 years. That case sat on a temporary restraining order and a preliminary injunction, and nothing happened until I took office. We kicked this thing in the rear. We got it moving. Finally got it up to the state Supreme Court. But what's outrageous about this ruling, Aaron, is our state Supreme Court ruled that your child's right to privacy exceeds a parent's right to parent and raise that child. Now, just think about the implications of this ruling. Set the abortion issue aside for a moment. This is stunning. This is a clear shot at a parent's right to raise their child the way that they see fit, which is a fundamental right recognized by the United States Supreme Court. And Montana's going to give the finger and say, nope, your child's right to privacy exceeds a parent's right to parent. This is nuts. So, yeah, this is an easy one for us to appeal up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're really, really hoping they take the case.
Well, and if I remember right, Rob Nadelson, former University of Montana constitutional law professor, as we were talking about all these various abortion rulings and abortion ballot initiatives, he said, look, there are strong federal protections for parents' rights, and if they trample on parents' rights here, that could be grounds for the United States Supreme Court to take up an appeal. So, hopefully that happens here.
Well, this is about the only road they had, because if you go back and you look at the Armstrong decision, which is when the Montana Supreme Court basically ruled that abortion was legal in Montana, they hung that largely on Roe v. Wade. Well, Roe v. Wade doesn't exist anymore. So you got all these so-called pillars that the Montana Supreme Court has used to build this abortion case, and those pillars don't exist anymore. So this was kind of the last road that they could use. It wasn't surprising. This is an extremely liberal court. We know that. And they've tried to expand this right to privacy in Montana Constitution and say it's something special, it's something unique. It's not. It exists in lots of other states. And none of those other states that have that same language have gone as far left as this Montana Supreme Court has.
Well, we're pleased to see the news, or pleased that you call in to talk about it. And I know we only had a quick few minutes, but yeah, if your schedule frees up a little more next hour.
All right, anyway, yeah, that was my conversation with Attorney General Austin Knutson. Okay, we are still working our phone lines here. Here's what I'm thinking. I don't want to keep the governor on standby for too much longer. Plus, we still have several highlights from the governor's State of the State address on Monday night that we didn't get to on Tuesday's show. So a couple of things. I think you might be interested in hearing the latest legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. He talks about this very subject that we just covered with Attorney General Austin Knutson. I can play that next. Then I think you'll want to hear what Governor Gianforte had to say about property taxes in the State of the State address. So I can go there after that, and then hopefully we get the phone lines up and running.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, we're still working the phone issues here back at our main Montana Talks studios. And unfortunately, I don't have all my remote broadcast equipment with me. My laptop is back at the house. I was working on some stories for our Montana Talks website late last evening, so that's why I have my laptop back there. But I need that to really get my remote broadcast equipment up and running. So, or I could just whip all that out, and we'd probably be moving on no problem here. But that's all right. I'll have the remote broadcast equipment fully intact, ready to roll for Friday's show, because we're going to be doing our full show on Friday from the Montana Capitol. I'll be at the third floor fan window location for Friday's show. We're going to have open microphones. We're going to have legislators, frankly, and anybody else who wants to join us on the show. The real reason we're in Helena this Friday, though, is because on Monday, January 20th, the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association is having their Co-op Days at the Capitol event. And it's always a great time. They have a meal. Everybody can come join them for lunch. A lot of our co-op friends from all across the state of Montana travel to Helena to be there so they can meet with their lawmakers. And if you're like me and you're a member of one of the electric cooperatives, I'm a member of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative. That's who we get our electricity through. And so it's a good opportunity for those of you that are members to go to the Capitol, and that's coming up Monday. But we're going to do a preview of that event. Some of our friends from Mecca will join us on Friday's show as well. So, yeah, that's why we'll be at the Capitol Friday. And then Monday I'll be at Trump's inauguration. I'll be calling in from the Capitol, and then a live show Tuesday from the Capitol as well. Okay, while we get our phone lines up and running, you know, we were talking with Attorney General Austin Knutson about his appeal to the United States Supreme Court. Jeff Laszloffy weighs in with today's legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation as well.
In a welcome turn of events, Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson has asked the United States Supreme Court to overturn the Montana Supreme Court's egregious decision in the case of Planned Parenthood v. State. You may recall that the Montana Supreme Court in December overruled the will of 73% of Montana voters and upheld a district court decision that overturned a 2013 law requiring abortion providers to obtain parental consent before performing an abortion on a minor. The law was known as the Consent Act. The decision itself was bad enough, placing government squarely between parents and their kids. But it goes further than that, much further. It actually says that children in Montana have procreative autonomy. That means the complete unfettered ability to make reproductive decisions for themselves regardless of their age. pedophiles across the state must be cheering this decision. Under this decision, a minor girl of any age can conceivably consent to sex with a male of any age. The Montana Supreme Court has lost its collective mind, which is why the Montana legislature has 27 bills focused on judicial reform. It's the Attorney General's assertion that the state Supreme Court cannot simply nullify parents' rights. In her opinion, Justice Lori McKinnon said, quote, "Not all families are healthy, and the Consent Act empowers parents who do not make decisions in their child's best interest to control an important fundamental right of their child," end quote. This leaves one to ask, did she even read the Consent Act? It contains a judicial bypass mechanism that allows a girl to obtain consent for an abortion from a judge if her family situation is unhealthy or unsafe. This motion is just the latest in a 13-year saga that began when voters approved a ballot referendum in 2012 that required parental notification for a minor to get an abortion. After passage, the legislature received word that Planned Parenthood was coaching minors to send the notification letters to fictitious addresses. The legislature in 2013 then changed the notification provision to a consent provision, and Planned Parenthood was forced to sue. The case then spent the next 10 years winding its way through district courts in Helena and Missoula as liberal judges did their best to duck and delay. One judge in Missoula sat on the case for 3 years, then finally retired. This case is one of the best examples of judicial abuse of power ever witnessed in Montana. Finally, we were forced to rally on the steps of the Montana Supreme Court and demand that the court quit stalling. Only then did the case miraculously reappear in a Helena district court, but it was still a year and a half before a final resolution. This is just one of multiple examples of abuse by Montana's courts, and it's one of the best reasons that the legislative and executive branches are finally pushing back. Governor Gianforte, in his State of the State address, asked the legislature to send him a bill that restores a party affiliation to judicial races. For years, judicial candidates in Montana declared a party affiliation, and in the opinion of a majority of Montanans, it's time to bring that back. In his speech, the governor said that in reality, Montana's Supreme Court races are, quote, nonpartisan in name only, end quote. He went on to say, quote, "Montanans have a right to know the values and principles of the judges they elect. 2 minutes. Let's bring light to this darkness," end quote. With regard to Attorney General Knutson's appeal, it will take 4 U.S. Supreme Court justices to agree to hear the case. Let's pray that they make the right decision. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Yeah, that line that Jeff Laszlofy mentioned. Yeah, Caden, you're coming out over the airwaves there. You got to put your mic in cue, buddy. You're coming out of over the airwaves. Yeah, Caden's checking a backup option here on our phone lines. That line that he shared from the governor's State of the State address was such a great line from Governor Greg Gianforte, where he was talking about our obviously partisan Montana Supreme Court. Now, we've got a new Chief Justice who I think is going to try to restore some fairness and some justice there. He's going to do his best. But with the current makeup there, they've been bought and paid for by the trial lawyers, by Planned Parenthood, by all these left-wing, out-of-state, big money groups and mega donors. And so they're basically, they're nonpartisan in name only. And that's why they and legislative Democrats are resisting any effort to bring about judicial reform here in Montana, because the system's working out pretty good for them. It's kind of like these forever wars in these and some of these defense contractors at the federal level. The forever wars are working out great for them. They're making a lot of money off of this whole thing. Not working out so great for our country, is it? Same thing with these with the current Supreme Court majority back in Helena. It's like, hey, you know, they get millions contributed to their campaigns by Planned Parenthood, left-wing activist groups, and trial lawyers. They get to stay in power. They get to act like legislators instead of justices. And they get to keep doing whatever they want. They get to keep ruling in any crazy way they want to. And so that's why they don't want to have any reform of the system, because then it would bring about some justice and some fairness. And right now they get to act by
you know, like tyrants, basically, and do whatever they want to do. Okay, let me cue up here now. I want to go one of the clips that we did not get to yesterday as we were playing audio, some highlights from Governor Greg Gianforte's State of the State address, what the governor had to say about property taxes and property tax reductions and property tax relief. And we had some fun on Tuesday's show. Not only did we play the governor's State of the State address, but we also, you'll hear, you may hear in one of these clips as well, David Noble on his Twitch TV live stream podcast, he was interjecting with some commentary of his own while he was also live streaming the governor's speech. So you might hear our friend David Noble jump in with some commentary in the middle of this clip as well. Let me see. I think I may have queued this up at the right spot here. The governor now, I think this is when, about 14 minutes into the speech, this is when he starts to pivot now to property tax relief and to try to make sure that Montana residents are the ones that benefit from that property tax relief and not just out-of-staters that might have a second home here, for example.
And cutting the tax.
Well said, Gianforte. Well said.
Montanans to invest in their futures, their children, and their communities. It's money for food on the table, a baby's diapers, a new winter coat for a growing kid, or more breathing room in their monthly budget. And while providing permanent tax cuts, we also recognize the burden of rising property taxes on Montana homeowners and small businesses. Rising property taxes fuel the affordability crisis that's pinching homeowners across the country. We must do something about it. We must enact a homestead rate cut for Montana homeowners for their primary residence.
Wow, fourth applause line, a rate cut for primary residence. I agree with that.
It's the place they call home. This reform is estimated to lower property taxes for Montana homeowners by 15% and for small businesses by 18%. It's projected to directly reduce property taxes for more than 215,000 homeowners and more than 32,000 small businesses, as well as provide indirect relief to 130,000 renters here in Montana.
Nice, legendary.
This is about making Montana more affordable for families. Some have asked me, why are you so focused on Montanans and their primary home? Well, I'll be frank. I don't believe, for example, a Californian who drops into Montana to ski once in a while near their mountain mansion should get a property tax cut. It's not fair.
Wow. The fifth applause line of the night going after rich out-of-staters.
Own their home, live here, and invest their lives in their community.
All right, and then he talks about delivering meaningful property tax relief, not just some gimmicks, which was clearly a reference directed towards what the Montana
test
Democrats
one,
have been
two,
talking
one,
about.
Two.
All right, back after this.
Test 1-2.
This is where Montana
one, two,
talks at. With Lane Nordland.
The Montana State University rodeo team has been honored with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to participate in the presidential inaugural parade in Washington, D.C. on January 20th. Representing Montana in the U.S. Navy section of the parade, the team will join thousands of participants from across the country in this storied national tradition. The MSU rodeo team's selection reflects their dedication, discipline, and deep connection to Montana's rich Western heritage. Known for their achievements in the competitive rodeo arena and their commitment to excellence in academics, the team has become a symbol of pride for the university and
hey,
the Big Sky State. Of course, the team is also cherished for their role in carrying the flags during the opening ceremonies for MSU home football games.
Okay, is there
a proud symbol of patriotism,
delay or so.
And school spirit. Congrats to the men and women of the MSU MSU rodeo team who are heading out to the Beltway to participate in President-elect Donald Trump.
Okay, great. So there might be a little bit of a delay, so I'll just try to keep my questions quick.
Also this week, the Northern Livestock Video Auction offered over 53,000 head of cattle for the 29th annual Diamond Ring Ranch sale.
Thanks for your patience.
6 weight steers, bred a price of $340 to $373. 6 and a half, 7 weights, $312 to $329. With bred cows, 2 to 4 years old, priced at $2,700 up to $3,200. Bred heifers, 28¾ to $3,100. I'm Lane Northbond.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're working on a backup option here. Hopefully you guys are hearing me okay. I actually left my studio. We popped over to our producer, Caden Bjornstad's studio here, and hopped on his microphone to see if we can take the phone call in here with better audio. It was going to be all garbled if we took it in my studio for right now while we continue to troubleshoot these issues. I believe we've got Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage, Montana, on the phone lines joining us from the Capitol. I believe his phone line microphone is turned on as well. Mr. Speaker, there might be a little bit of a delay. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we got you loud and clear, Aaron.
Hey, well, I got you. Hopefully our listeners are hearing you as well, and you're not getting too much of a delay or any feedback back there. Well, yeah, we tried to get the governor on earlier, and that just kind of fell through, but that's all right. We may see him on Friday with our live show from the Montana Capitol put on by the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Well, first off, hey, little over your first week into action as Speaker of the Montana House. How's it going so far?
Going really good, Aaron. We're houses up and running and hearing bills in committee. We've had good floor sessions, quite a few bills on the floor already, and we're just rolling.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, on the state Senate side, it looks like they're moving forward under some rules right now. They're getting some committee hearings scheduled and things like that, but they've been at a little bit of a standoff over the rules. Hopefully that impasse will pass soon if it hasn't already. What are you hearing from that side of the Capitol?
Well, they're working on it. There's been some riff over there, and we're just trying to keep that out of the House. We're still chugging along, and hopefully they can get things up and moving and do the same.
Yeah, I think just in the first couple of days alone, you guys had already heard at least 21 different bills, 21 different pieces of legislation. What have been some of the key things that have been moving so far?
Yeah, we had a lot of red tape bills and agency bills that first week, and we've kind of got through most of them in our committees. We're, doing executive action on quite a few of them to get them up to the floor. And this week and the end of last week, we're, kind of hit more, I guess if you want to call it partisan legislation, to where it wasn't the typical, 20-0 votes coming out of committee. We got House Bill 121. We passed, we had the hearing on last Friday. That's the women's privacy bill. We're going to hear that on the floor today. So, just kind of getting geared up and ready for our first big debate. And yesterday our chamber passed our rules, went through our rules committee and passed that 58-42.
Yeah, and what are your top priorities? I know we caught up with you shortly after you were elected speaker. Now that you've had your caucus together, you're starting to get your feet underneath you. What are the big picture priorities? And maybe also kind of some of your reactions to Governor Greg Gianforte's State of the State address last night. Several different applause lines. Sounds like he had a lot of support, not just from his Republican caucus, but even on some of the topics, maybe even some Democrat support.
Yeah, and I guess to give like a real high level what we're hoping to do here as a Republican caucus in the House is big one, judicial reform. I know I've talked with you about that and with several other people about that, whether that's partisan judges or, just putting a little bit more legislative oversight where it should be, just co-equal branches of government. And so these, big slug of bills that'll be coming through, some of them on the Senate side, a few of them on the House side, that'll be a big, push for us. And obviously, lower taxes, whether that's, the homestead, compstead, eggstead bill we'll be hearing right shortly, or, the income tax. I know there's a lot of different ideas floating around, but, the state has, close to $1 billion, if not more than $1 billion, worth of a surplus, and so we need to be lowering our taxes too. So that's a that's another big issue, and just, you know, government efficiency and government accountability. Any bill or any way we can make this system work better for the people is going to definitely be a top priority for us here.
Yeah. So, you, man, so many big topics that you just brought up there. Maybe starting, well, let's start with taxes. Yeah, over $1 billion. You were a part of the last session as well. Heck, the session before that. The last two repeated legislative sessions, you guys meet every other year, just for about 90 days or so. You delivered income tax relief. That first session lowered the rates for us Montana taxpayers. You did the same thing last session, and the result has been the same. We get to keep more of our money in our pockets. That helps the economy. And if it helps the economy, it helps state revenue collection. So it's continued to fuel more surpluses at the state legislature. And then on top of that, you delivered some property tax rebates last session as well that many Montana homeowners have benefited from. So over $1 billion in income tax and property tax relief. But now, House leadership, Republicans, Senate, and the House want to move forward with more. So does the governor. He made that clear. But property tax relief, in addition to the rebate checks, now there's really an opportunity to provide some comprehensive fundamental reform. Democrats are saying they want property tax relief as well, but it sounds like the governor kind of views some of what they're talking about as mere gimmicks that won't actually lower property taxes.
Yeah, and when you're talking about property taxes, you know, you're talking about schools and local governments and entities that need to be made whole. So there is a bucket of money that they need. And so we want to create it where we're not just shifting the cost from one person to the other. We want to make it where it's, you know, ongoing and substantial property tax relief, not just a rebate check, something that's going to lower this for, you know, years to come. And whether that's like we talked about the homestead, Comstead, Eggstead, you know, that's going to shift a little bit of money to the out-of-state, you know, homeowners, second homeowners in the state. And then also, you know, Carl Glimm has Senate Bill 90, which would take some of the tourism dollars, whether that's out of the general fund or whether that is out of Department of Commerce's budget, and give more permanent property tax relief too. And I think there is a way to where we can meld, you know, not necessarily the two bills together, but we can have a combination of both and make real change for the state of Montana.
Yeah, clearly that's a resounding message from the people that they want to see real comprehensive property tax relief. This has been a problem for decades in Montana. I mean, I remember during the campaigns last year when some people tried to act like this was a problem that just happened after the Yellowstone TV show and the migrant influx into Montana for COVID refugees and more. It's like, no, we have people who have been taxed out of their homes for decades now, especially, you know, folks in the Flathead Valley, you know, going back to the 1990s, I can remember this being an issue.
And one of the biggest things I see with that is our property taxes have shifted from natural resources onto, you know, residential homeowners. Natural resources paid for a big bulk of whether it was local government spending or school budgets, you know, all the way up until the mid-90s. And then whether that's through federal regulation or state regulation, a lot of our natural resource industry went by the wayside because of overregulation. And so that, you know, killing the golden goose didn't really help us when it comes to our property tax problems. And so now we're sitting here trying to fix the mess that has been made, like you said, over the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years with the constant barrage of attacks on our natural resource industry.
The bold leadership coming out of Montana right now is what I really appreciate. You know, frankly, finally out of Washington now with President Trump being sworn in on Monday. Republicans have already taken over the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate. But just today, I heard the national news update that a bill to protect women and girls, their safe spaces, their sports opportunities, that passed the House. They're hopeful it will now get through the Senate and then be able to be signed into law by President Trump. But in the State House, you guys are already taking action on that similar front. In fact, Riley Gaines, who testified to the U.S. House, also testified before the Montana House.
Absolutely. Yep. Last Friday in Judiciary, Riley Gaines testified via Zoom on Kerry Seacon's Curl, House Bill 121, the Women's Privacy Bill. And that was pretty, that was something that we'll all remember. That's for sure.
So at least in the state house, do you see where Republicans will stand united? Because one of the questions I think one of our listeners pointed out is like, hey, you even had two Democrats vote with the Republicans on that bill to protect women and girls, sports in particular. Doubtful that you could get two Democrats even to support common sense like that in the Montana House right now. Although, who knows, if they saw the election results last year, I think this was a major issue. But it's always so easy for Republicans to lose a couple of squishy votes here or there. How united do you think Republicans will be in the state house and just in Helena in general?
Speaking for us in the House, I believe we're pretty united right now. We've got 58 Republicans. We're trying to hold them all together, and it's up to us as leadership to do that. And, you know, just listening to everybody's concerns, and even on 121, but I think we've quieted everybody's concerns, and I'm really hopeful we'll get 58 at least on this bill. And I guess I'm not going to hold my breath on getting any Democrat support, but I sure wouldn't turn it down.
As long as the Republicans hold together, though, they should have the votes to get this Montana First agenda across the finish line. All right, I got to take a quick break here, shortest break of the hour. Speaker Lear, if you got a run, I understand. And if you want to stand by, I'll come back to you here in 2 minutes. Either way, we'll be back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, that's very good to know. Inside baseball for you guys here. Inside baseball, Radio Land, inside baseball. So, first off, Speaker of the House, Brandon Lear, yeah, he had to run. But that's all right. We thank him for his time, and big thanks to our producer, Caden Bjornstad, for making that work. We basically interviewed him through the computer, so thanks for jumping through hoops to make that work. I used to be able to do that on my computer in here. Not sure if it was a settings change or what. But anyway, yeah, Frank in Malta was like, hey, you need to do your show from Caden's studio a little more often. And I was like, did that mic sound better than my current mic? And he said, oh, yeah. That's very good to know, because I use these headset microphones because I move around a lot. I'm playing clips on the computer. I'm answering, you know, I'm grabbing phone calls. I might be doing some research over here. And so I like to have this headset mic, because then I got my headphones and my microphone all in one spot. But in there, I used one of these, you know, stand mics. And they probably definitely are much higher quality microphones. So, yeah, maybe I need to look at going back to some sort of a setup like that, where I use the old school traditional stand microphone. Plus, I love the look of these sports microphones. You know, you feel like you're at a big football game, calling a football game, like some of you pros out there in local radio. So there you go. All right, well, Frank, sorry, I moved back into the other room because I've got my computer here. I've got everything out in front of me, my show prep already ready to rock and roll. Let's see here. Oh, this is a story. Did you guys watch any of the confirmation hearings for Pete Hegseth, a fellow Iraq and Afghanistan veteran, to be the Secretary of Defense? You guys have heard me before. I'm a big fan of Pete Hegseth. He's a warrior's warrior. And this back and forth with him and Montana's newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy, I thought was such a great back and forth, because it was warrior to warrior, not some of these stuffy senators who have never had skin in the game, who are sucking up to the defense industry establishment, who will gladly confirm another senator to be a cabinet member in any position all day long, because they'll give favors to their fellow senators all day long. But no. Here comes an actual warrior from outside the establishment, and just the shenanigans they pulled to try to undermine his confirmation, and yet Pete Hegseth absolutely crushed it yesterday. Here is a Fox News radio report talking about more of the substance of the confirmation hearing from yesterday, and you'll hear they actually have a quote from Montana Senator Tim Sheehy.
During the hearing, President-elect Trump's pick to run the Pentagon, former Fox News host Pete Hegseth, was peppered with questions about our military readiness. Nebraska Republican Senator Deb Fischer said nuclear deterrence must be the highest priority.
But deterrence only works if our adversaries believe our nuclear forces are effective and credible.
North Carolina Senator Ted Budd was focused on increasing our aircraft fighters. Wyoming Senator Tim Sheehy told Hegseth,
to fix the Army in this country is a 1 or 2 year problem. We can make bullets, we can make rifles. Fix the Air Force might be a 5 year problem. Fix our Navy is a decades long pursuit.
Hegseth said investments have to be made into the manpower and innovation needed to build ships. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Now, one of my favorite lines from Pete Hegseth yesterday was this one. One of the biggest tragedies of this woke left-wing garbage that we've seen coming from the Biden Pentagon over the last 4 years in particular, you know, it's not just the DEI stuff. It's not just the men in women's shower facilities. It's also the fact that, remember the COVID jab? Look, if people wanted to take the so-called vaccine, take the stinking so-called vaccine. But why are you forcing other people to play around with this emergency use vaccine, so-called vaccine, right? And what they did, you had soldiers that served their entire, or airmen that served their entire near 20-year career. They had exemptions for other actual vaccines, but this regime was refusing to give them an exemption for the COVID shot. And they kicked American patriots to the curb in the most shameful way imaginable. Here's what Pete Hegseth had to say when it comes to those patriots who were punished or kicked to the curb as a result of that stupid COVID shot.
How many other men and women, how many other patriots, how many other people of conscience? We haven't even talked about COVID and the tens of thousands of service members who were kicked out because of an experimental vaccine. In President Trump's Defense Department, they will be apologized to. They will be reinstituted with pay and rank.
Yeah, reinstitute with pay and rank or restore retirement benefits. Those American patriots deserve to be taken care of. It's a wrong that needs to be righted and very quickly. But yeah, if you saw Tim Sheehy, he was on Sean Hannity last night. He had a great back and forth with Pete Hegseth that went viral. There was another big story about Montana's newly elected Senator Tim Sheehy that kind of got buried in all of this news. The Washington Reporter had a story a day before yesterday. Senator Tim Sheehy, you know, not only did he serve his country in the U.S. military, so did his wife, but then he, very successful entrepreneur. He's donating his entire Senate salary to charity, following through with a promise he made on the campaign trail. How many of those senators back there in Washington are enriching themselves on the backs of Americans while they scoff at warriors like Pete Hegseth, and Sheehy is donating his salary?